That's a pretty cool thing. I was with Richard when we did that, and we went over to Coronado Mall, and there was a bunch of people walking around, and just really cool. Something to think about tonight. Would you be bold enough to go stand on top of one of the benches and say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ in front of everybody who's passing by, no matter who they are? Something to think about tonight. Why don't you guys open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We're going to do a little bit of work on only one verse tonight. If you guys know, the first Wednesday of every month is worship and communion night. So it's still Treasure Church. We'll still have a message pertaining to Treasure Church, but we're also going to spend the rest of the time in worship to the Lord through communion and song, which is going to be really cool. So open up to Romans chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 16, and I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for everything you do for us, God. You're so good. And Father, I just pray that tonight, Lord, we would examine ourselves and say, are we unashamed? God, are we unashamed of the gospel? Are we willing to tell everybody and anybody about you, what you've done, how you've affected our life? And so, Father, I pray that tonight, with all boldness, as we just heard, God, that whether by life or by death, that you will be magnified in us, Father. And so we pray that, God, we'd be willing to submit to you in that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, get this. I did some research. The largest non-auto racing stadium in the world is called the May Day Stadium. It can hold 150,000 people. One stadium. That can fit every single person who lives in Santa Fe plus 3,000 more people. Could you imagine 150,000 screaming fans all rooting for their home team? Sports fans are some of the craziest people out there, right? There's some people who really, really get into their team, huh? Maybe some of you guys are those people. Maybe you're like that person when your team's playing, you put your colors on, your mom bakes like the colors of the your favorite team and cookies, and everything's like centered around your favorite sports team, right? I know a lot of friends like that. Actually, I have one friend whose favorite sports team's like on his, each one of his credit cards. I'm like, really? Like everything he's known for has to do with this team. I used to be like that too when I was younger. If you guys remember, Michael Jordan used to play for the Bulls, right? And I used to live in Denver, and when the Bulls would come into town to play the Nuggets, I was like a Bulls fan, man. I loved Michael Jordan. And I remember this one time my dad took me to a Bulls game. And I was probably in third grade, probably second or third grade, and I was so mad that the Bulls lost that I just started crying. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that Michael Jordan lost, dude. Like, I'm never going to see him go again because he doesn't rarely come into town. And I just remember how stoked I was when I went there with all my gear on and I was supporting my colors. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to see the Bulls do some work. And then, of course, they end up losing. But I found some pictures of what you might call super fans, people who really, really love their teams. Here's the first one, a picture of a guy who loves hockey so much that he decided to make it look like half of his head is actually a puck. That looks pretty real, right? It does. Okay, how about this one? A guy who loves the Philadelphia Eagles so much that he had them tattoo the 1999 Eagles team on his entire back. Now that's dedication, right? And how about this guy? A guy who loves apparently who loves NASCAR number 3 so much that he shaved number 3 into his back hair. Yikes, right? That's gross, right? Hey, well, last but not least, one who is near and dear to my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the Denver Broncos barrel man. God rest his soul since he passed away just recently. But here's a guy who rain or snow was out there for every Bronco game, dressed in a barrel and some orange boots, right? But what do all these people have in common, you guys? All of these people are unashamed. They all love to hoist their colors high, meaning they love to represent their team, and they'll even go as far as doing crazy things like we just saw. I mean, think about it. How unashamed must you be to carve a number 3 into your back hair, right? That takes a special kind of person who really loves his team. Or to go out there and wear an orange barrel and orange boots and almost freeze to death, right? Well, tonight in Treasure Church, we're going to look into this idea of being unashamed. When last we left off in Treasure Church, I don't know if you guys remember, but we said that we were on this deserted island, right? And we said that there was other people on this deserted island. And that although we were on this deserted island, we didn't have to conform to the way that the other people were living on this island, right? And we made the comparison that just like Christians are in this world or on this island that's called Earth, just because we're not alone as Christians in the world doesn't mean that we have to conform to what the world does. And so the good news is that our crew has repaired our ship. And we can now continue to search for our treasure, for this is Treasure Church. So the only thing left to do is hoist the colors high, raise the flags up. You know, the Olympics just ended, right? And everybody would come from all their different countries with their flags, right? And they would proudly wave their flags around. Even if their nation didn't win a medal, they were still out there holding up what's most important to them, their country, their heritage. And so just as Christians, we should also be doing this. We should be hoisting up what's most important to us, waving the flag of what means most to us. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means good news. So as fans cheer in love and adoration for their favorite team, we should be boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're asking, well, what's the good news? Well, the good news is that Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to earth, died for you, so that the wrath you deserve for all the sins you've made, all the bad decisions you've made in your life, God took that out on Jesus on the cross, and now you can live forever simply by believing in him. This is a message that we should be proclaiming without shame. That we should shout like we would shout for our favorite team who's in the championship game. So tonight we're going to look at three quick points about the gospel. We're going to see how the gospel is a personal thing. We're going to see how the gospel is present, and the gospel is powerful. So let's look at our entire text tonight. One short verse found in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So our first point is called the gospel is personal. I think it's funny when people, I don't know if you guys have ever heard somebody say this to you before, like, don't take it personal, right? But usually what they say, don't take personal, is obviously usually a very personal statement, right? Someone might be like, hey, don't take this personally, but I think you talk too much. You're like, oh, all right, how was I supposed to take that? Or, hey, don't take this personal, but I think you're kind of annoying, right? It's like, wait a minute, how else am I supposed to take it, right? I can only take that personal. Well, when it comes to personal, something that we should be taking personally is the gospel. And the reason why we know this is because look at the second and the third word that we just read. What does it say? It says, I am, right? It says, I am. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Notice he doesn't say, you're not ashamed of the gospel, or we're not ashamed of the gospel. He cannot speak for everyone. He can only speak for himself. And he wants us to know that Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul is like those fans that we just saw, right? He doesn't care what people think of him. He only cares what God thinks. You guys know this. I am is singular and first person, right? Really easy. Paul isn't saying, hey, my friends, they're unashamed of the gospel. Or, hey, my parents, they're unashamed of the gospel. He's saying, I don't know about you. I don't know about them. I don't know about anybody else. But all I know is that I personally am not ashamed of the gospel. That I'm not hiding behind people who love God. I love God, and I want to share my faith. He uses I because he wants to make sure that you know that. But what about you? Are you proud to be a Christian? Not a proud Christian, but proud to be a Christian. Do you spend more time talking with people about hobbies and gossip and everything else that you do besides Jesus? Do you hang out with Christians who maybe they're bold in their faith, maybe they tell people, and maybe you think just because they're unashamed that you're kind of like unashamed by association or something like that? Because it doesn't work that way, right? Because no one can make you proud of the gospel. Only you, your view of the gospel, your faith can change it into saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The way to be unashamed is to realize what the gospel is and what it did for you in your life. You see, once you guys realize that Jesus Christ paid the debt on the cross, that he died, he suffered, and now you don't have to, that before Jesus Christ, that if you didn't, through faith, believe in him, that the wrath of God abides on you, meaning you'll have to pay back for all the wrong things you've done. So when you realize that, Christ suffered and took my pain that I deserve, and now I'm never going to have to suffer. I'm going to get to go to heaven. That should make you excited, thankful, joyful for what God did for you. This is what made Paul unashamed, you guys. I mean, think about Paul, you guys. Here's a guy who was stoned, cursed, beaten, laughed at, and eventually beheaded for the gospel. And he was unashamed. He was happy in all these times. How can that be, though, right? And the way that Paul was unashamed and happy, even through all this persecution, is because he had a very high view of the gospel. He knew what Jesus did for him in his life. He knew that without Jesus, he would have been in hell for all the things that he did. And so now he says, what's the worst thing that could happen to me? I die? Big deal. I just get to go to heaven when I die. So it's not like it's worse, it's actually better, right? Therefore, despite all the persecution, he is able to say, I am not ashamed. You think Paul cared, you guys? You think Paul cared that people laughed at him? I don't really think so. You think Paul cared that he didn't have a ton of friends? No, I don't think so. No, he says he's not ashamed because no one can take away the gospel for him. They can take away his friends, they can take away his life, they can take away everything from him, but they'll never be able to take the gospel from him. Each one of us in here is either unashamed or embarrassed by the gospel. One or two things. Because if you're either one or the other, you're never going to be somewhere in the middle. You're either embarrassed by your faith, embarrassed to talk about Jesus, embarrassed to talk about God, or you're proud and you do it and you're unashamed, right? And each one of you in here needs to take a stance on your faith. Because if you're scared to share your faith because you feel like people will make fun of you, or you're scared to teach your, or I'm sorry, you're scared to share your faith because you're afraid to get beat up, well then your view of your own happiness or your view of your own safety means more to you than the gospel. You guys understand that? I mean, if I'm worried about getting punched by telling someone about Christ, then I'm more worried about getting punched than I am more worried about spreading the gospel. Therefore, my safety has become higher priority to me than God. And if you're afraid of losing friends because of your faith, well then guess what? Your friends have just become more important to you than Jesus, than the gospel. You see, we cannot be people who are unashamed at church, right? We can't be people who are at church, we're like, yeah, we're all for God, we love God. And then as soon as we leave here, it's like we're embarrassed to tell anybody. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad you guys speak up here. I'm glad you're proud to be a Christian here. But out there is where it matters, you guys. In front of the unbelieving world, that's where you need boldness. We just saw with Richard, right, on that video. He was talking about his teacher, and his teacher was trying to tell him, no, God doesn't exist, no, evolution is real, and trying to feed him all these stuff. But of course, with respect, yes, he did it with respect, but also with boldness, he said, oh, no, you have it wrong. No, I don't have it wrong. You have it wrong. God is real. Right? And he said, I'm not ashamed to tell you that God is real, even if you don't believe, even if you think I'm a fool. Because I know what the gospel means to me personally. You guys, I want to warn us all in here. This was a warning to myself as well. It's a dangerous place to be to call yourself a Christian, but at school, nobody knows you're a believer. Outside of this place, nobody knows you're a believer. Because that shows you're embarrassed of God and that he really isn't who you claim he is when you're at church, right? You have to make it personal. If he's Lord of your life in church, he's Lord of your life outside too, right? God wants to know how you stand. You know, there's this story in the Bible where Jesus says, hey, and he's talking to his disciples and he says, hey guys, who do people say that I am? And some of them say, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. And they start telling them all these things that people think. And then Jesus looks at him and says, but who do you say that I am? Right? Because who cares if they thought he was Elijah and that was wrong? Who cares if they thought he was a prophet and that was wrong? It doesn't matter. Whatever everybody else thought didn't matter. It mattered what each individual thought. And that's why he asked his disciples, the world can believe whatever they want, but what do you say? Right? That's what's most important. I want you guys to remember that. God wants to know how you feel about him. Not what your parents think about him. Not what your friends think about him. Because in the end, God will ask you and you alone about yourself, about your time, about your talents, about the things you did on earth. It's not going to ask you about anybody else. You won't be able to say, well, there was that one time when me and my friend, I was with my friend and he told that guy about Jesus. Jesus is going to say, hey, that's good. Good for your friend. But what about you? How come you didn't speak up? Right? That's cool. But what about you? What did you say? So let's move on to our next point called the gospel is present. You know, Moses met God. You guys remember Moses murdered somebody and he's fleeing Egypt and he meets God in the form of a burning bush in Midian, right? And God tells him, hey, Moses, go free my people from slavery and bondage. And Moses says, hey, wait a minute. Who do I tell him sent me? And God says, tell them I am. I am, right? I am is also present tense. Right? I am preaching. I am AJ. I am a man. It's continuously going, right? Present. And that's why God says, I am. Tell him I am, right? Because he's God continuously. He's God at every moment. He's God all the time. He never ceases to be God. God is always in the present tense. I am God, right? He never stops. And there's something we should continuously do as well. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. See that? Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, sometimes I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Or, you know what? Someday in the future, I will not be ashamed of the gospel. Or, you know what? Someday I'm going to be stoked to share my faith. He doesn't say that. He says, I am present tense, not ashamed. I'm sorry, I am unashamed of the gospel. Each day, each minute, each second, he is unashamed. That's what I want you guys to understand, that the gospel, the good news, is an all-day, everyday lifestyle. It's not like, hey, it's Wednesday. Oh, cool, it's a church day. Let me grab the gospel off the shelf and bring it into my life and pretend that I'm a Christian. And then tomorrow, it's Thursday, and I don't have to go back to church for 2 days. So I'm going to be able to just take my faith and throw it right back up there on the bookshelf because I won't need that anywhere else besides church, right? If you're a Christian, then you're a Christian everywhere, right? Present tense. And as a Christians, we need to live in the present. That means we live for the here and now. We don't rest in the things that we've done in the past, and we don't say that, oh, someday I'll do great things. We live for the right now and say, what can I do right now for the kingdom of Christ? You know what? There's a lot of people that I talk to that are like, oh, man, you know, that mission trip, or, man, that Lone Tree, that peak, that experience I had, or that one time that I shared my faith, man, it's like all they can talk about. It's like, that's great. That's really a good thing, and I'm really happy you went on those things. But what are you doing right now for the kingdom? What are you planning on doing now? Have you made arrangements to go on another trip? Have you made arrangements to get involved? Right? And then I hear other people who say, yeah, you know, someday I'm going to get right with God. You know, I just feel it. I just know that in like 5 years, once I'm in high school or out of high school, I'll really be able to give it 100%. That's dangerous. That's not the way we should think. Right? Many people sometimes say, you know what, I read my Bible yesterday for a good chunk of time. So today, I think today I'm just going to take the day off, right? Or, you know what, I always hear AJ talk about getting involved, maybe coming to 421, maybe getting a momentum, coming on the mission trip. And you know what, I'm going to do that someday. I really am, right? That's living in the past or living in the future. And there's two problems with that way of thinking. One is that we should be always looking for opportunities in the here and now. There's something you guys need to know about God, okay? God is ruthless and relentless in his pursuit, okay? God's not just like kicking back up there in heaven like, you know what? You know what, Holy Spirit? We did a lot of work yesterday. You know what, Holy Spirit? What say you and me just kick our feet up, get some chips and dip, and just take this one for you and me, right? He doesn't say that, you guys. God is always thinking about what is he going to do now and now. And he constantly wants to pursue people, the unsaved. And he constantly wants to mature you people who are hopefully the saved. God does this 24/7, 365. God never takes a day off, never rests. So that means that God wants to use you a lot, right? If you make yourself available right now in the present, he will, I promise you, he will use you, you guys. He may use you in the littlest of ways. He may just use you at the store to be a good witness to somebody who's there, right? Or to cheer a friend up. But he's always got something. We can't think that God is passive. God is always aggressively pursuing people. God wants to charge in to people's lives who will let them and change things and rearrange things and make things better. The second problem to thinking in the past or the future is, how do you know that you're going to be here so long, right? How do you know you're going to be here an hour, let alone 60 minutes or 60 seconds or 60 years? Quite the assumption, right? Quite the assumption. I mean, you guys, I could have a brain clot in 30 seconds and be gone. I don't know when I'm going to go. I don't. So many times we think, I'll get serious with God later. You know what? I just don't want to do it right now. That's your choice. But guess what? You're not guaranteed anything. Some get 100 years. Some get 100 minutes. Some get 100 days. So when it comes to the opportunities to share the gospel, to love people, to be obedient to God, we should do it now, not what we will do, because our clock is ticking right now. We may not be here much longer. And this is what Paul did, right? Paul, who wrote this letter, he made the most of every situation, right? I wanted you guys to think about a time when maybe you felt like the Holy Spirit was kind of telling you, like, to speak up, to tell a friend about God, to go on a mission trip, to do something, right? And maybe as you think about that, you think, you know, I didn't do such a great job at all these things. I'll tell you this. You're never going to get those chances back. All the time that I've wasted, I've only been a Christian for like 3 years, you guys. So the previous 23 years of my life, gone. I'll never get those years back. I'll never be able to go back and affect those people's lives, right? But what I can say is that although we've had many missed chances, we can start living for God right now. In this very moment, we can say, God, I will do whatever I can. I will be available for your use in any way. So don't cry over your last chances. Just start getting involved and look for the opportunities right now. And know that God is always looking to move. God is always looking to help people out. God is always willing to use people who want to be used. So the first point was what, right? The gospel is personal, right? We said that Paul says, I am not ashamed. He made the choice of what he was going to do to the gospel. And then we just saw how the gospel is present, right? We need to look for present opportunities to share our faith now, not rest in what we did and not look forward to the future, but say, God, what can you do with me right now, right? Let's move on to our third and final point called the gospel is powerful. You guys remember the show Tool Time? Anybody ever seen the show Tool Time? You guys remember that? That's a pretty fun show, right? Well, if you guys haven't seen Tool Time, let me fill you in. There's Tim the Toolman Taylor, right? Go Tim, there you go. And he would always do things like take microwaves and like soup them up so they're like super microwaves so they can cook like a hot dog in like 6 seconds, right? And it like blows up. Or it takes like a chainsaw that's like a normal powerful chainsaw and he adds like a car motor onto it so the thing's like super powerful. Way. And he would always say, you know what this needs? And everyone would say, more power, right? That's what they would all say. Well, if it's something that we don't need, that doesn't need more power, it's the gospel. The gospel is already as powerful as it needs to be. Let's look at verse 16 one more time. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You guys, I want to remind you something of here in case you forgot about it. The word of God is the most powerful thing in the world. There is nothing more powerful. You know what? Should a war break out tomorrow and we get nuclear bombed, and guess what? that may take our earthly life, but it'll never take away the word of God. Jesus said, though heaven and earth will pass away, my word will never pass away. So why is the gospel a powerful tool? It says it is here, right? Powerful. Because we just read it. Because Paul just said it's powerful because it's what's used for salvation. For the Jew and the Greek, meaning that the gospel is able to save everybody, from Jew to Greek and everybody in between, including you and me. And the reason that it's powerful is because it has the ability to take a sinful person like you and me, who's condemned to death, condemned to hell for the bad things that we've done in our life, and completely change it around. Where now not only are we not going to hell, we're not condemned, and now we actually get everlasting life. All because of the death of Jesus on the cross. Wow, what a pretty sweet deal, right? It's a pretty sweet deal. That must be some powerful stuff to take away the wrath of God from us and put it onto Jesus, and now we're looked at as righteous and we're able to go to heaven and we're able to have eternal life. That's a powerful tool. Well, believe it, because this is what the gospel can do. It has happened to many of us in this room. You guys, we were lost in sin. We were doing our own thing. We were living the way we wanted to. Then we came to know Jesus Christ. We accepted what he did on the cross. And now we went from outcasts to children of God. What a cool thing. And we must never forget, you guys, that when you tell somebody and when I tell somebody about God, that there is nothing more powerful. That you're holding the most powerful tool in the world at your hands. No gun, bomb, person is more powerful than the gospel. Nothing. When you're scared to share your faith, and it'll happen. I don't think that I don't get scared. I still get scared. But I remind myself, I've got the most powerful thing in the world, the gospel. I'll give you a real-life example. Who's a skater in here? Got a couple skaters. Okay. I'll tell you what. I like you guys. I'll tell you what. You guys probably notice. Over at the skate park, there's some rough dudes over there, right? Like, when everybody's skating, there's, like, all these people. Like, there's just this, like, skater vibe, you know what I mean? And I remember I was teaching at the, I got asked to teach at the 10-year anniversary of the skate park. Huge skate competition, tons of people there, tons of unsaved people, and I was just like really nervous, man, because like, you know, these, you know, just, I'm not a skater really. I like the longboard, but it's just a whole nother like click, you know, and so I was just kind of like, I was really nervous about it, right? And so I remember going up there and I was like really nervous to share this message that I had because everybody was super loud and just kind of like not paying attention. And I just reminded myself, dude, they don't even know what's about to hit them. I have the gospel in my hands, dude. And so I just got up there and I started preaching and I started teaching. And at the end, I gave a little invitation to come to Christ. And about nine people came and I was so blessed. And I just remember thinking, I'm never going to forget that. I'm never going to forget that. Why should I be afraid? They should be afraid because I'm the one who has something that can change their lives forever. And listen, even if you tell them about the good news, you tell them about the gospel, and they just brush it off, don't worry. Because believe it or not, it has affected them. It will affect them. Because the words you're speaking, you guys, they're not just your words. They're not just the words of a great writer, a great musician, a great philosopher. They're the words of the living God. You know, God has given you all a testimony, you guys, a story. A story about how things were and how you used to live. And then after you met Christ, how everything changed. That's the power of the gospel in your life. You know, I was talking with Khan the other day, and he was telling me how his Momentum group, they were talking about sharing their faith. And they were just kind of like, well, how do we do it, and what do we do? And don't get me wrong, I'm a person who believes that you need intelligent answers to tell your friends. But I'm also a believer that, you know what, there's a time for theology books, yes, but there's also a time just to go up to somebody and say, have you ever been sad, depressed, lost? You ever been wronged? You ever had something that you just don't understand? So have I. I used to be like that way too, but now I met Jesus Christ, and because of what he did on the cross, he took my guilt, he took my sadness, he took my shame, and he turned it into joy and love. And now I know that I'm not meant for this world, that I'm meant to be with him in heaven. And when you guys are just real like that and you tell somebody that, Man, that's the power of the gospel, because you're telling them, you're giving God all the credit for all the positive things in your life. So remember, the gospel should be personal, right? Like we said, we should take it personal. We should be wanting to be excited to share this news. Then the second point was, the gospel is present. What are you going to do right now? Are you waiting, or are you going to start getting busy for God? And lastly, we said the gospel is powerful. Remind yourself that when you're speaking to somebody, these aren't just your words. These are the words of God, and they will change this person's life, whether you see it or not, and rest in that. As we close, you guys, we're about to start communion, and I just want to encourage you guys to start communion right after I'm done once Johnny comes up. But I just want you guys to remember, as we eat the bread and we drink this juice, it's, you know why we do it? Because we remember a God who took all of the shame that we once had, all the shame for all the horrible things that we've done, took them upon himself so that we can be unashamed. How beautiful. So that you can be proud. Not proud of what you did, but proud of what he did. I want to challenge you guys that as we start to worship tonight, okay, as we listen, as we start to worship, ask yourself this question. Am I ashamed of Jesus in some way? Am I ashamed of the gospel? Do people know I'm a Christian? And examine yourself. And guess what? If there's some missed opportunities, if you look back and say, man, I haven't been really good about this. I've actually kind of been, in fact, embarrassed about my faith. Well, guess what? Ask God to forgive you and then be done with it. Leave it at the cross. Be done with it. And now make the choice and say, God, I'm ready to be used today. I'm ready to be unashamed at any cost, even if I lose friends, even if I lose popularity. Not that I'll do it eventually, but know that you'll do it now. We all know at least one person, you guys. Each one of us in here knows at least one person who does not know Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know that if someone in here has not made a commitment to Jesus Christ in their life, to come up to me, come up to a leader during worship, and just say, I want to know Jesus, and will you tell me how? And we're just going to pray a simple prayer with you. But I want to challenge those of you who say you're a Christian in here, who say you're saved, to share just your testimony this week, okay? Just to go up to somebody and start telling them what it is that God did in your life. And guess what? If they ask you some hard questions that you don't know the answer to, tell them this. I don't know the answer right now, but will you give me 2 days? I promise you that I will find the answer to whatever question you have for me in 2 days, and I'll get back to you. And then go home, do some research. You can get on velocityabq.org. We have a huge Q&A section, or better yet, velocityabq@yahoo.com. It's on your bulletin, it should be. Send me an email, and I will help answer the question for you so that we can start bringing more people with us to heaven, you guys. All right? If, just like we said in the beginning, look at how unashamed those sports fans were, right? The crazy lengths they were going to hoist up the colors, to show how proud they were of their team. How much more should we? How much more excited? How much bigger fans we should be of God, right? We don't worship just merely a team. We worship a God. I want to end with these words from a Matthew West song. He says, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of just going through the motions? I hope that's not you tonight. I hope that if you've lost some chances, that tonight you'll make the dedication to say, God, I want to be used. And in 10 years, you won't be saying the words of this Matthew West song. You won't be saying, what if I would have done it? What if I would have given God my entire life? What if I would have lived for him 100%? Not asking what if, but saying, I'm so glad that that night, that Wednesday, March 3rd, when AJ said, let's start living for God right now, that I did. And now for the last 10 years, I've been living for him. And I've been giving him everything, and he's blessed me so much because of it. I hope that that's what you do in 10 years, not ask what if. So I'm going to close in prayer. You guys, please, if there's anything you want to pray about, you guys, please come to a leader while we have worship. Come on up and have communion. You guys, just take a little piece of bread, dip it in the juice, and just remember how great our God is and the things he's done for us, all right? Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you took all the shame that we deserve, God. God, everything that we did wrong, you took it on yourself. God, all the pain and wrath and everything that we deserve, you said, I love these people so much that I will come, I will die for them so that they can be with me. And God, simply by saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, I want to follow you with my whole heart, Lord, we are made able to go to heaven. Thank you for that, Father. You're so good to us. I pray that we'd understand, Father, that the gospel is personal, Lord. It's not about anybody else. It's about us. What are we going to do with it? And God, that it's right now, here and now. What can we do for you now, Father? How can we be your hands and feet now? And God, that it's powerful, Lord, that even despite what people would say, Father, that their lives will be changed by the words that you've spoken. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.